You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It's Friday, July 24th. This is The Christian Commute. I'm your host, Seth Dunn, and you're riding to Huntsville with me. Huntsville, Alabama. It's my wife's grandmom's 90th birthday, and we're going to celebrate this weekend. Technically, I think her birthday is on Tuesday. So I'm not quite sure where I am. I'm somewhere between Calhoun and Rome, because the computer said to take a side road that it would be quicker than taking I-75. So I am on a, I don't know, 3-hour trip, give or take, because I have to stop. I'm going to stop at Walmart and buy some socks, probably get something to eat. So that's what I'm doing out here in the world. And the reason you're getting this show mid-drive or after my drive has already started is because baseball opened up today and the Braves had a 4 o'clock game. So I was listening to the Braves. And when the Braves lost to the Mets, who I mentioned yesterday that I hate, when the Braves lost to the Mets 1-0 a few minutes ago, I turned off the radio and turned on The Christian Commute, my recorder here. So that's what's going on. That's what I'm doing. I don't know when you'll get this show because there is no internet at my wife's grandmom's house. It's like going back in time to a place where there's no computer. I don't think they've ever had a computer in their house. I do believe they have a landline telephone. But no computer but a landline telephone. And that is where I am going. So it may be Sunday night till I get home and upload the show. Nevertheless, I'm going to record it. And I have a full show for you today. Today's show topic is Bumper Sticker Baptist Church. Bumper Sticker Baptist Church. Baptist is in parentheses. It's Bumper Sticker in parentheses Baptist Church. All right. I'll explain why later, I guess. Maybe I'll forget. I have a question in the inbox about communion, or as we call it, the Lord's Supper, we Baptists. Communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it. I've got a question in the inbox about that. And I've got Jeff Lopez still waiting, his question that he called in, languishing away in the inbox. But I do need some more questions for next week. So if you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics, you can write in to SethDunn88@gmail.com, SethDunn88@gmail.com, or dial 470-315-0875. Today, in the Bible chapter review, we complete 1 John chapter 5. This will be the second time on the Christian Commute that I have completed 1 John, or the book of 1 John. Is it 2 times or 3 times? I think I've done it twice. So here's to hoping I was consistent and said it meant the same thing this time as I said it meant the last time. But it's just one verse today, as I mentioned yesterday, because I want to start off Monday with a new book, that book being 2 John, as we get ever closer to the end of the New Testament. How am I going to handle Revelation? Revelations, or am I going to go back to the Gospels? We'll see. But today is just 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. The end, when we end the Bible chapter review. Just kidding. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. This single statement closes out 1 John. The parting words. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. And it seems almost out of place because he's been talking about knowing God, knowing our salvation, and knowing who false teachers are for 5 chapters almost. And then all of a sudden, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Why does he say this? Well, let's analyze it. First of all, let's look at what little children are. We've seen this phrase or this word used throughout the book, little children, technion. Technion, little children. What does it mean literally? Little children, like all my little kids at the house. I got 2 7-year-olds. my boy will be 6 in August, and my other boy is, I don't know how old he is. I think he's almost, is he 3? I think he's 3. Yeah, he's 3. And then the other kid, he's lucky if I remember his name. I think he's almost 2 years old. So I got some Technion at my house. But the way John means it is to call these people beloved. You could probably translate it beloved if you wanted to. It's a term of endearment. He's speaking to them as if they're his own children. He's speaking to them like he loves them and he's there to protect them. And he's there to give them good advice and he's there to lead them. Wherever I am, they're about to open a new Mexican restaurant. You know where I am? I'm where there's a Dollar General. That's where I am, in the middle of the country. Sorry. Technion. So, this phrase, it's not as out of place as it seems, because he's referring to the readers by that phrase, that term of endearment, and to say, beloved, you know, little children. And he's telling them, he's closing out, he's summing it up. What's he say? Guard yourselves from idols. Eidolon in the Greek. What does it mean? It means an image. In that day, it's not like an image like we would think of, like a picture or something like that. It's an image, typically an idol to be worshipped. So the implication there is false god. Little children, guard yourselves from idols, or beloved, guard yourselves from false gods. False gods, or the things that represent false gods, like idols. Gnosticism presents a false god. It presents a Jesus who's not God, and in some cases, Gnosticism presents a god who's different from the god portrayed in the Old Testament. So too, I think Marcionism does that too. But if somebody comes with you with Gnosticism, they're coming to you with a false god, and John is telling them, by way of reminder at the end, after his whole epistle, is all his big speech, hey, guard yourselves from idols. You have to be on the lookout. Guarding yourself is something you're doing actively. Like, watch out for them, is what he's saying. Be on your guard. Remember what Peter said about the devil. Be on your guard. The devil's out to get you. He's out to get whoever he can. And John's saying, you're kept by Jesus. The devil can't get you. You're kept by Jesus. The devil can't touch you. But the world's under his power. Be on your guard. It's all around you. So as we end this book of the Bible, I will reiterate to you all that you should be on your guard, guarding yourselves from idols and all that goes along with idolatry. And with that, we end the Bible chapter review and we end 1 John. Now let's move on to the inbox. The inbox is full, or at least it was full, of questions from Candace. So I've got this one, and I think there's one, maybe two more. Candace has been providing questions. Where are the rest of y'all? Here is Candace's question. Should we expect physical healing from communion? The answer is no. All right, now let's move on to the show topic. Short show. Short things today. Short Bible chapter review, one verse, and short inbox. Now, let's flesh that out. What is communion? What is it? It's an ordinance. It's a church ordinance that Jesus gave us. Yes. But also, what is that? What is this ordinance? It's a memorial. We take communion in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Number one, we remember his body, which was broken for us. That's what we remember when we chew up that bitter little wafer, or bitter little cracker. I like those crackers. I think about buying them at the store and eating them. I like them, even though they're kind of bitter. And we think of his blood that was shed for us when we take the Welch's non-alcoholic grape juice, or wine, if you're Presbyterian. So these things represent the body and the blood. The elements, as we call them, represent Jesus' body and blood, but there's no mystical thing going on. Communion doesn't do anything. You sometimes you may hear it spoken of as a means of grace. Well, it causes us to think about what Jesus did for us and reflect upon His grace. And it causes us to be introspective and see if there's any sins that we need to repent of. Or if we've sinned against somebody else, we need to go make it right with them before we come before the Lord at His table with the church. That's what communion is. So there's, given that what it is, there should really be no expectation of physical healing. Like, I had a toothache and then I took communion and felt better. If you want to feel better, go to the doctor and get some medicine or exercise or something, or wait and let your body heal itself. Or pray to God to heal you. But communion is not something like, if I take communion, I'm going to get healing. Even if you have a sacramental view, a heretical sacramental view, like the Roman Catholics have, where they say this is a sacrament that confers grace and it really is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no expectation of physical healing there. That's something spiritual happening. Grace being conferred upon you by the magisterium. So I don't know where anybody would get the idea that communion precipitates physical healing, other than maybe this popular Pentecostal notion that by His stripes we are healed, which is true, by His stripes we are healed. The Bible says that. It says it in Isaiah. But when they say by His stripes we are healed, they mean we're physically healed, that there's physical healing in the atonement. And perhaps they think that since communion represents Jesus' bloodshed, which was the atonement, maybe there's physical healing in that. I don't know. I can't. It's hard for me to think like a heretic. You know, like sometimes when you're a cop, you have to think like a criminal. You know, I'm a theologian and I'm not a heretic, and it's hard for me to think like one. So if anybody ever said that to you, it's basically you explain what communion is. And that pretty much covers what it is not. Otherwise, people are just saying stuff. Well, there's spiritual healing, so we should expect physical healing. Sick people take communion all the time and stay sick. And with that, we will end the question and answer section. We'll end the inbox portion. And now, what is it? I ate a big lunch in anticipation of this long drive. 6:54. I intend eventually to stop and get something to eat, but I don't know where I am. And I just presume I'll stop by Walmart. So if I abruptly stop because I see a Walmart, you just have to bear with me. I need to buy some socks. I just don't have any clean socks. And I was going on this trip. I said, forget it. I'm just going to go buy some socks. You can never have too many socks, boxer shorts, or undershirts, in my opinion. So you just buy them all. They're all dirty, I'm going to buy some. For whatever reason, undershirts, and especially socks, tend to disappear. So that's what I'm going to do here in a minute, or here in a few minutes. But for now, and listen, if I wanted to, I could go 2 hours on this Christian commute, but I don't think I can talk about bumper stickers for 2 hours. And when I say bumper stickers, I really mean window decals. I think they're more popular than bumper stickers. I just passed a Nissan Xterra. Ooh, Masonic Lodge. Masonic Lodge. Is it still in business? Is it still in business? Do I have any Mason books? Well, I'm going to stop and see if I have some Mason books. Because you know I like to leave Mason books at the Masonic Lodge. So now I've got to turn around and go back to this lodge. Let's see here. You know what? I don't have any books. No, I was in a different car. Sorry. Bumper Sticker Baptist Church, but I'm also counting window decals. And I say bumper sticker in parentheses Baptist Church because, as I say always, these quote-unquote non-denominational churches, they're really Baptist churches, but they won't say it because they're independent and they baptize by immersion. But they don't want to put Baptist on their bumper sticker because it might turn some people off. I don't know if this Masonic Lodge is in business. It looks like it's in ill repair, but if I have a book, I'm going to stop and give them one. Or just leave my phone number. Whatever I can do. Whenever I pass the Masonic Lodge, sorry, I know this is distracting. Whenever I pass the Masonic Lodge, I give them one of my Mason books. So before I talk about church bumper stickers, I want to ask you, do you have any bumper stickers or window decals on your car? I'm in Studio B today, and Studio B, I have a window decal from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. So that's what's on this car. Now, Studio A, I had that when I was younger, and when you're younger, you're a lot more apt to put stickers all over everything. Sorry, I had to pause again. I'm at the Masonic Lodge. I don't have a book. I'm ashamed of myself for not having one of my books. Sorry, Floyd Springs Masonic Lodge, number 167. You don't get a book. How am I supposed to get out of here? This driveway's terrible. So when I was younger, I was much more apt to put stickers on stuff, because when you're younger, you think, oh, this stuff is cool. I'm going to have stickers. So Studio A has some worn-out bumper stickers on it and window decals. There is a Pearl Jam window decal that I got at a Pearl Jam concert. It's an Indian, and it says Pearl Jam. I don't know why they had an Indian Chief sticker, but that's what I got. I have a Winchester sticker, Winchester Firearms, because I have a Winchester shotgun. I have a Ruger sticker on my car because I have a Ruger shotgun as well. So I've got two gun stickers, a Pearl Jam sticker, and I also have a sticker for Quail Unlimited. What does that say about me? Well, the guns in the Quail Unlimited say I like to hunt upland game birds, specifically quail, and I shoot them with shotguns. But otherwise, I haven't hunted in forever. And then the Pearl Jam sticker says I like the best band in the entire world. So anybody else who likes those things might see it and strike up a conversation with me. It represents something. By the way, it represents something that everybody knows about. It's no secret what a Winchester is. That's a gun. It's not hard to find out. Pearl Jam is a very popular band. The logos for these things are well known. It's like, what's the one now? Yeti coolers. The Yeti cooler people, every time you buy a cooler, you buy a $100 cooler, a $50 cup, they give you a sticker. You can put a sticker on your car. I've got a $50. This sticker tells you I'm an outdoorsy person with a $50 cup. I think I have a Smith sunglasses sticker on that car because that's the brand of sunglasses I have, because I used to have like the mountain biking sunglasses, because even though I go rafting once every 10 years, I have Teva sandals. I'm that guy who has everything. Well, these are my hunting boots. These are my rafting sandals. These are my tennis shoes for tennis. These are my basketball shoes. These are my soccer cleats. I don't even play soccer. These are my softball cleats. I've got everything. And I've got my Smith glasses. And again, well-known brands. And people who are into those things will talk to you about those things. So, oh, I also am a firearms enthusiast. Or I also like to hunt quail. Or I also am planning to vote for candidate X. Like, I just saw a Donald Trump bumper sticker. I don't have to tell you what bumper stickers are for. And window decals, I guess you know. Like on this car. Oh, you went to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Tell me about it. You must be a preacher. Blah, blah, blah. I'm a preacher too. Okay, but what about church bumper stickers? What are they saying? I go to church. Are they saying you should go to church? And when it comes down to it, you're not going to get any kind of gospel message or evangelistic message off in a bumper sticker unless it's one of these bumper stickers that says John 3:16, get saved. Like, I've seen little stickers like that before. But the kind of stickers I notice now are the logos of churches. And if you've ever listened to this show for any length of time, you know when I pass by a Cross Point City Church car, and it's got their little logo on it. And here's the thing. It doesn't say Cross Point City Church on it. It doesn't say read the Bible or anything like that. It's two arrows, and they're shades of blue, and they're coming into one another, and then these arrows merge, and I think it's a different shade of blue. It's a logo that it looks like somebody spent a lot of time and did a lot of money for. And if it does say Cross Point City Church under the arrow, it might say it real small where you can't read it. You'd have to be pretty close in the parking lot to read it. And I guess that's where conversations take place, in the parking lot, not driving through the highway. But you really can't tell what it is, and you wouldn't know what it is unless you were from Cartersville and knew what Cross Point City Church was. And my wife says it looks like a gay symbol. Like, if you were trying to make a logo for an organization of homosexuals, she thinks that's what you'd make. So I don't know if they were going for that or not. There's another Dollar General. I wonder, do they have socks? No, I'm going to hold out for a Walmart. I'm holding out for a Walmart. I'm believing God for a Walmart. If I was Pentecostal, I'm believing God for a Walmart. I don't have to step into Dollar General and their inferior selection. They cost more. I'm going to go to Walmart, get whatever I want. Don't tell me I can't find a Walmart in Somerville. I'm only in Somerville. That's where I am, if you're wondering. What am I even talking about? This is so what a kind of lame show about bumper stickers. Oh yeah, Cross Point City Church. That didn't really tell anybody about Jesus. I guess somebody might ask, what are those arrows on your car? And it's the same thing for Rockbridge. Remember the other day I saw that guy from Rockbridge Community Church? I recognized the logo because I'd been to their website and checked in on them, and I had a friend who went there, and I thought he shouldn't go there. And that is like, that points out to me, like, bad. Rockbridge equals bad. And it was, their logo, you can Google it. Stop and Google it right now. Rockbridge Community Church in Dalton and Calhoun and Ringgold. It's like, it's little bubbles, little blue bubbles. It's not even a cross or a Bible or anything. When I grew up, at Woodland Park Baptist Church, the church had a logo. I don't think they had bumper stickers, but the logo was, I think it was in the stained glass window behind the baptistry, if I remember correctly. And the logo was also on our softball shirts, and I have a bunch of those shirts. And the logo was a cross with an open Bible in front of it and a dove flying over it. And I think it was meant to communicate that this Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. So the dove is supposed to make you think about the Holy Spirit, and I guess it was supposed to make you think about peace and covenant, because remember, Noah released the doves. So it was supposed to say the Bible is telling you about you can have peace with God through Jesus. And it was very clearly a Bible and a cross. What other book is going to be open in front of a cross? But now, like Elevation Church, is it an arrow too? Even this far from North Carolina, I'll see Elevation Church bumper stickers or window decals. I saw one from Woodstock City Church the other day. Do you know what Woodstock City Church's decal is? It's a circle with a W in it. It could be a football team. It could be the Washington Wizards, for all I know. It doesn't say anything about Jesus or church. It doesn't even really communicate, I go to church. You only know if you're familiar with it. Maybe if you go to church there. So these bumper stickers, it's branding. And to me, it makes it seem like people are, the church is trying to identify a person with a brand. Heretics everywhere. There's a Kingdom Hall, a Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall. On this trip, I passed the Church of Christ, Heretics, Masonic Lodge, False Religion, Jehovah's Witness, Heretic, False Religion. I ain't been on the road an hour yet, and I passed two Dollar Generals. But these people, they're just trying to brand. It's branding. When I was in high school, we always rode in my, and there, this road is sponsored by the Seventh-day Adventists. It's Heretic City. When I was in high school, we always rode in the nicest car. So I have got my group of friends, you know, 7 or 8 people that I always run around with. And whoever, wherever we're going, we're going to take the nice car. Because you had those kind of friends in high school, too. You've got the one guy with a 1986 Chevy Blazer that won't go up a hill. And then you have one guy with a BMW. All right, we're going to take the BMW. So my friend Brandon Moretz, his dad he still is. His dad is a ear, nose, and throat doctor and plastic surgeon, and they were loaded, and they lived in a big mansion in my neighborhood. And if we were going somewhere, Brandon would drive. He had an Isuzu Trooper with every option you could think of. I mean, you could take that thing to Africa and off-road. Not that we ever did. So we always rode in his nice car, and I distinctly remember his car had a license tag on the front, like a decorative license plate. It was from First Baptist, and it was purple and white. It wasn't very masculine, in my opinion, but it had a heart on it, so it had to be red. It had a heart and a cross, I think, and it said, "You matter to God," and I think it said First Baptist. So that was a message. That's a slogan, and we talk about brandings and slogans, but that's a pretty good one. You matter to God. Why do you say that? I feel like I don't matter. Why do you have this bumper sticker that says you matter to God? Because Jesus died on the cross in your place for sins. And if you'll accept Him, you can be saved because you matter to God. God loves you. That's at least a conversation starter. I remember that. But nowadays, and I'm not trying to sound like some old codger. Nowadays, you know, church bumper sticker used to mean something in my day. Presbyterian Church in America on my right, heretics. Church bumper sticker used to mean something in my day. Now it's just a bunch of blue bubbles. What am I supposed to do with a bunch of blue bubbles? What's that say about Jesus? You know, so that's, where in the world am I? I don't know where I am. So I'm not trying to sound like an old codger, but I'm trying to say these bumper stickers or these window decals I see on these church cars, they're meaningless. And really, it's not surprising to me, given from where they come. Woodstock City Church, Andy Stanley. Elevation Church, Stephen Furtick. The name of the pastor at Cross Point City Church is James. I call him Four Stripe Adidas Mark Driscoll. That doesn't mean anything to you, it might. James doesn't mean anything to you, but Four Stripe Adidas Mark Driscoll might. Oh, here's a church called Connect City Church. I bet that's real old timey. Not. Oh my gosh. There's another Church of Christ. Good grief. Water everywhere. Not a drop worth drinking. So anyway, James is Four Stripe Adidas Mark Driscoll. You've probably never heard of him. And then, I don't know, I couldn't. Matt, I think Matt's the name of the pastor at Crossbridge. Here we go. South Somerville Baptist Church. Look, it's SBC. Wonderful. They're not heretics. Okay. But these are personality churches, culture churches. We're cool. It's coffee bar cool. And everybody who's cool has the bumper sticker. And it's not going to put you off with a cross or a message about your sin or anything like that. So why do I do a whole show about this? Because I've talked about all these churches before. Because I want you to think, are you in Bumper Sticker Baptist Church? Or is your church moving towards Bumper Sticker Baptist Church? Has your church tried to get you to get a bumper sticker and put it on there? And why? Because that's going to say something about your culture. It might say that you have an evangelistic culture. Or it might say that you are moving towards a seeker-sensitive, let everybody try to be cool culture. And it's up to you to assess that and say, guys, is this the culture we want to move towards? Or be in. When I was at the demonic church of Freemasonry, Roland Springs Baptist Church, They had a bumper sticker initiative one time. Easter was coming up, so they bought all these bumper stickers that said something like, "Follow me to church," or something like that. I forget what they said, but they were supposed to advertise, "I'm inviting you to church." And everybody was supposed to get them and put them on their car so we could have a big Easter turnout. And Roland Springs is not the kind of church that's going to brand itself. It's the kind of church like, well, they don't care if you go there or not. It's almost kind of like a country club. Everybody's real friendly. And it's not country club like people are rich, but it's country club like this is us. But like any other church, they need to grow. People are at least ostensibly interested in evangelism. But I thought that bumper sticker is like, now we're making a sales pitch for our Easter push. Why don't we, why aren't we not inviting people all year round? It was some program they had bought. So there's stickers like that that could be a part of a stupid program. Like, this is prayer emphasis month. Everybody get your prayer bumper sticker. But the type of bumper stickers I'm talking about are these bumper stickers from these branded churches. And here's how you'll know if you go to Bumper Sticker Baptist Church. If your church paid a marketing firm and some artistic consultants to make you a logo, a corporate logo, and then told you to put it on your car, you're a Bumper Sticker Baptist Church, and you probably need to do something about it. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll think of a more interesting show topic for next week. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel, Seth, when you're talking about bumper stickers and window decals. But I do think it is relevant. So, Lord willing, I'll get any show topics. Because, listen, what is this, 1,012, 1,013? I don't know how I keep coming up with them. But anyway, Lord willing, I'll be back with you again Monday. As always, God bless. As always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved. Ooh, maybe I'll put that on a bumper sticker.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.